Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And thank you for joining us here today on AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for being with us as we talk about issues impacting rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We got a lot to get to on the show today, brought to you by Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium Diesel to keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk markets here in a second and some acreage estimates out from agmarket.net with Tyler Schau. Also in segment two, Dr. Pat Westhoff with the University of Missouri is going to join us to talk about their new baseline projections out from the FAPRI part of the University of Missouri. So looking forward to that discussion. In segment three, we're going to have a conversation with USDA Undersecretary Jenny Lester Moffitt. And then at the end of the show, talking about some winter weather across the upper Midwest and northern plains here over the next few days. And we got to make sure to think about our livestock and taking care of them with a quick turn in the weather. Travis Hoffman from NDSU and University of Minnesota Extension is going to join us to give us some tips and reminders coming up later in the show. Let's kick things off, though, and take a look at what's going on in the markets. We are just about a week away from USDA's quarterly grain stocks and planting intention survey as well. Joining us now, Tyler Schau with agmarket.net. And Tyler, just out Thursday morning, I know you guys have released your prospective plantings estimates. Talk about what you guys are thinking we could see from USDA here next week.
Well, first of all, we're fairly certain we're going to see that gap between the corn and soybean acres tighten up quite a bit from last year. You know, there was about a 11 million acre difference. Corn was 94.6, beans were 83.6 million acres last year. Our estimates right now are for corn to come in at about 91.5, which is slightly higher than where the USDA Outlook Forum pegged it there in February. We're probably a little bit below what some of the other groups have been coming out saying, but we still think you had too good a fall weather there in the I states where they were able to get anhydrous put down, some tillage work done. So we find it hard to really push much below that 91.5 million acres here as we move forward.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I've heard some of that chatter as well, and I think that those corn acre numbers, to your guys' point, that good fall field work, we love to plant corn. I mean, I know that you look at the corn-bean ratios and the margins there, and I'm sure you could talk about that more, Tyler, but I still feel like some of our traditional rotations probably going to hold here as we go into 24.
Yeah, some of those decisions, you know, got made last fall, and at the time, the economics still pointed towards corn. Like, if you did the corn-bean ratio then, a lot of cases, the economics still said corn was a better crop to put in the ground. That's throw on the fact that you had that really good stretch of dry fall weather where it was nice warm. Guys were able to get out and get some field work done to get ready for this year, lay some anhydrous down. You know, those acres aren't going to switch back. We still think, you know, obviously with the way prices are and where the balance sheet is, you know, any swing acres right now, corn and beans, likely going to push towards beans. Mm-hmm. But then one of the other things we had to throw in is take a look at cotton, in the southern states. That we're pretty certain that cotton is going to draw some acres in from the southern states. Those are probably going to pull away from soybeans. But then to offset that, where I'm at up in North Dakota, you know, you've got Spiritwood with a soy processing plant, Green Bison, and they are up and running and just about to full capacity now. You've got another soy crusher that's going to come online this summer in Castleton, North Dakota. So two very large users of soybeans. And some of the word we've been hearing from farmers and seed companies up in this neck of the woods is that there's a lot of interest in putting more soybeans in the ground. So kind of feel like, you know, you're going to see some of those acres that go to cotton in the south. Those acres will go to soybeans in the north and probably at the expense of spring wheat from what we're hearing.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I'm glad you brought that up because, I mean, you know, spring wheat prices, some of that world competition, things like that. To your point, I think we could see that shift here to soybeans. And thinking about this soybean complex too here, we were able to get above 12 across much of the board on Wednesday. Thursday's early action kind of holding there. I just wonder if, you know, in kind of a sideways, quiet type of trade here heading into those USDA reports, Tyler, if getting some 12s on the board and beans could spur on some added farmer selling.
We did hear from our partners at JSA that there were some beans moving in the country yesterday. There was some farmer selling that was occurring in soybeans. So that's, you know, one thing that's kind of maybe kept a lid on this rally. It feels like, you know, there's some stories out of Argentina that the heavy rains coming in and doing some damage to the crop. That got the market a little spooked. Soybean meal's been up pretty strong the last couple of days. Soybeans came with it. And then on top of all that, you've got this massive short position by the funds, basically in all the grains, but in soybeans and corn especially. And so when we started to see, you know, tip over some of those technical resistance lines, you know, there's probably a lot of computers stepping in and buy stops to exit some of those short positions. Really ran up overnight, softened a little bit. Sometimes you'll see that happen. Computers trading with computers, maybe push a little too high, and then the humans get back behind the computers and take control for a little bit. But be interesting to see how this day shakes out.
Yeah, very, very true. A couple other notes real quick before we run out of time. Livestock kind of mixed and quiet sideways there this week. Cattle on feed coming up Friday after the close. And two, seeing an overnight headline of a potential fire at the National Beef Plant in Liberal, Kansas. I don't know if that's going to have any impact on this market, but just a couple things there percolating around this cattle trade, it looks like, at the end of the week.
Yeah, I actually had two customers call first thing this morning that have cattle scheduled to get killed at that plant, and they weren't able to take them. At the time, you know, we didn't know if that was a massive fire, if it was just a garbage can that started on fire. Still really haven't heard exactly what's going on there. Just know they're not taking any cattle, or they weren't earlier this morning. The cattle market's just a little stale right now. Big cattle on feed report coming out tomorrow. The guesses right now on the face of it seem a little bit bearish. But when you compare, you know, the face of it's going to be comparing to last March. And what I remind everybody is last March was a bullish of all bullish cattle on feed reports. And really what I would argue kicked off that massive bull run from March all the way to September, October, just, you know, to give people a sense of the scope of this move. I looked this morning, the feeder calf index at this time last year was at 190. And yesterday settled at 251. So, you know, if you're a feeder cattle guy, if you're a fat cattle, I mean, anyone in the cattle business, I still keep screaming risk management is probably a good idea here. This thing could stay hot for a while, but there's a lot of air under the market.
Yeah, very true. I didn't even get to ask you about the Dow Jones new record highs here, Tyler. I mean, 40,000, that's pretty bubbly.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's tough. But, yeah, it's something we'll have to save for another conversation. We're up against the clock. I know folks can find you guys at agmarket.net. Tyler Schau, thanks for joining us here on AOA today. Really appreciate it, my friend.
Always good to visit with you, Jesse. Thanks.
All right, coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex, Dr. Pat Westhoff with the University of Missouri joins us next on AOA.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Every Tuesday, we'll be sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Not all grease is created equal. Cenex premium greases are made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more. Just visit cenex.com. Well, the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri has recently released their annual Agricultural Market Baseline Outlook. We want to talk about that new outlook from FAPRI. Joining us now to discuss and go over the latest details, he is the director of the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute there at the University of Missouri. Dr. Patrick Westhoff is with us. And Pat, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us here on AOA. I hope you're doing well.
Hey, doing fine here. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Well, let's just start. Give us kind of the overall 1,000-foot view of what you guys found, kind of the overall theme with the latest baseline report. Let's just start there.
I think for the most part, the big story is that with the exception of cattle, prices for most major farm commodities dropped a fair amount in 2023, and we expect a further drop in 2024, at least on the crop side, if we have average weather conditions this summer. That it probably implies another drop in farm income from the peak we saw in 2022, getting back to kind of levels we saw several years ago again.
Well, and thinking about that, you know, that peak, I maybe put into perspective, you know, just some of those record levels that we saw with farm income. So even though we're coming down off those peaks, you know, still fairly good. But to your point, just the way commodity prices have kind of pulled back here, I know that coupled with the overall inflationary outlook and high interest rates and everything else going on, cost of inputs, et cetera, it may be a little bit of a cost price squeeze for some folks, I guess. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, overall production costs in 2024, we expect to be up a little bit from last year. You know, that's a lot different than the huge increase we saw in 2022. And while we have seen at least some input prices come down this year, we'll have lower feed costs for livestock producers, for example. There's enough other things that are still going in the opposite direction that we expect overall costs of production to go up in 2024. And as you said, that causes more of a price cost squeeze for a lot of producers.
What about on the biofuel side? I know you guys look at some of that information as well when you put together this baseline report, and I know there's been a lot of talk surrounding biofuels here as of late. Any big notes from that side of the equation?
I suppose from a producer perspective, the positive side of things is that we are indeed seeing increases in production of biomass-based diesel, you know, of various types. So we'll see a continued expansion of the renewable diesel industry. We may or may not see some increases in production of sustainable aviation fuel, depending on policy, depending on lots of other things in the years ahead. And that means more demand for soybean oil, which is a good thing for soybean producers in particular. On the ethanol side of things, not such an exciting story. You know, we'll probably hold ethanol production relatively flat the years in front of us, because on the one hand, we may have a little bit more use of higher-level blends, but on the other hand, we probably are going to see reducing overall gasoline consumption in this country as we have higher, better fuel-efficiency vehicles and more electric vehicles out there in the fleet.
Okay. All right. How about some of the consumer side of the new baseline report? You know, I think about food inflation, for instance. It looks like from the report, it maybe slowed in 2023 a little bit. And you guys may be suggesting that trend could continue possibly. Talk about that from the consumer side.
Yeah, it's always important to remember that, you know, the price of raw farm commodities are a tiny fraction of what consumers pay at the grocery store or at the restaurant in particular for food. But we have seen a drop in consumer food price inflation in recent months, a little bit over 2% year over year in the most recent data that came out. And we're projecting about a 2% increase year over year in 2024 compared to 2023 for overall food prices. In fact, the price of the things you buy at a grocery store are roughly flat in 2024 compared to 2023.
What about the food away from home aspect of that? Are we seeing some issues there still when it, you know, comes to folks going out to restaurants and things like that, that instead of going to buying at the grocery store, some of that food away from home? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the inflation on the food away from home side has been slowing as well, but still is a much higher rate. You know, we're talking about 4 or 5% inflation on the food away from home expected for this year. That's down from the peak we saw a couple of years ago, but still very, very high by historical standards. You know, one of the many reasons why is that food you eat away from home tends to be, you know, a lot more labor involved in putting that out there, right? Think of all the folks who work at restaurants, et cetera, and labor costs have gone up for those institutions. So that's one of the many reasons why we're seeing continued increases in the cost of eating away.
Well, I know with this report, you guys have done this for quite some time. You have a lot of historical data that you can look back at and compare to as well. So, Pat, talk about some of, as you look through all of this data and see where things are compared to, you know, a few years back, et cetera. I mean, what are some of the big trends that maybe stand out to you? What are some things you've seen there?
Yeah, one thing that kind of surprised me as we're putting the numbers and putting some charts together was that if you compared the prices we're projecting over the next several years to the prices we saw over the last decade, if you average everything out, it's not that terribly different. You know, the price of corn we're projecting, for example, for 2024 is not that far from the average between 2014 and 2022, and that holds for a number of the commodities as well. The problem, of course, is that that's all happened at the same time the production costs are not going back to those previous levels, and that's one of that's the main reason why we're seeing tighter farming picture in front of us. As always, there's many uncertainties anytime we put together a baseline. If you think back, you know, the last 4 or 5 years, you know, we wouldn't have told you to expect a huge trade war with China. We wouldn't have told you to expect the coronavirus. We wouldn't have told you to expect the war in Ukraine. So while we don't, you know, we obviously don't have those sort of things built in our baseline looking in front of us, but it's a safe bet that we'll have some surprises in the years ahead.
We are talking today with Dr. Patrick Westhoff, Director for the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri, going over their latest baseline projections, food and ag outlook. Dr. Westhoff, what are some things you would want farmers, ranchers to really think about and remember here as we go through the year ahead, looking at all this data and more? And what should they keep in the back of their mind as we maybe think crystal ball, so to speak, looking out here at the year ahead and beyond?
Well, especially as margins are getting tighter for a lot of crop producers in particular, you know, risk management can be, it's always important, but it'd be probably especially important as those margins have tightened up a lot from what they were a couple of years ago. So not you know, being unrealistic about the types of prices you get from what you sell, making sure that when you buy inputs that you know, you don't inadvertently end up buying them all it's just when prices are at their highest for those costs. You know, so spreading things out a bit, making sure you've got things hedged and otherwise protecting yourself against the many risks that continue to be out there will be especially important this year and probably for years to come.
Well, and I know if folks want to look through the baseline food and ag outlook report as well, I know they can do that online. You guys have that information, I believe, available on the missouri.edu website, don't you?
That's right. So our FAPRI website is just FAPRI for FAPRI.missouri.edu.
FAPRI.missouri.edu, where you can find more information. Dr. Westhoff, we got about a minute here. Any other final thoughts you would share with us or anything you'd reiterate to folks looking at the latest baseline projections?
Well, one of the reasons we do all this, of course, is to be able to look at alternative scenarios. So what happens if there's a change? So we did a lot of work this past year for members on Capitol Hill, you know, trying to think different about different farm bill proposals. We presented this information in D.C. A couple days ago and got some good input from them about some of the sorts of things that they might be considering as the farm bill debate continues, and some helpful information just for them as they're trying to make those big choices that will have a big effect on agriculture for years to come.
Well, again, you can find more info, read the full baseline projection, FAPRI.missouri.edu. And with that, Director of the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri, Dr. Patrick Westhoff. Pat, thank you for joining us here on Agriculture of America today. Always appreciate a conversation. We'll get you back on the show again in the future. Thanks so much.
Thank you much. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Good stuff there. Again, looking at this baseline projection out from the University of Missouri. Again, Dr. Patrick Westhoff joining us here today on AOA. Again, go to fapri.missouri.edu. That is FAPRI.missouri.edu for more information. And, you know, thinking about that, we've heard that term cost price squeeze here off and on the show from a few different folks. And I know, moving through the year ahead, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a challenge. Where will interest rates land? You know, we're seeing the stock market here at all-time highs, for instance, as we work towards the end of the week, and the Fed holding steady on interest rates in their March meeting, and a little more pessimism, maybe in inflation for longer, so to speak, here as we try to curb inflation in the U.S. economy. So a lot of things to take into account. And again, a lot of great research there from the folks at FAPRI at the University of Missouri. All right, coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Downtime's a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. We're going to have a conversation with USDA Undersecretary Jenny Lester Moffitt. She joins us next on AOA.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
You're listening to AOA with a check of markets for the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra. Corn futures have support coming from soybeans, which are trying to break out to the upside today. The support in corn has allowed the May futures to scale the 45-day moving average, while it's challenging the 50-day moving average Thursday morning at 4:43. Wednesday, we managed to shrug off the lower trade seen most of the session. That came from support from the ethanol production estimate, the highest total for mid-March since 2018. Thursday morning, we're seeing export sales, which have been running stronger than many had anticipated, especially with the shipping challenges at the Panama Canal and through the Red Sea. Corn exports are expected to come in at between 35 and 51 million bushels. Soybean futures are higher again Thursday after a strong session on Wednesday. That's where strength in the world vegetable oil markets combined with speculators caught on the wrong side of the trade. That helped May soybeans close at their highest level since the 1st of February. A USDA announcement of 120,000 metric tons to unknown destinations before the open Wednesday was also helpful to price action. Brazilian basis levels that had weakened slightly firmed back up Wednesday. That also lends some support to the outlook. Wheat futures are higher Thursday after clawing back most of the early losses from Wednesday's session. Egypt's wheat tender appears to have only resulted in small purchases as prices rose slightly this week. Looking at the livestock side of things, the cash cattle trade was sparse Wednesday, not sufficient enough to indicate a trend for the week. There's some anticipation for higher cash this week, but it may be difficult for more than steady prices to develop. Boxed beef has been mixed the past 2 days, with choice increasing by 22 cents and select down 47 cents on Wednesday. The cattle on feed report will be released Friday. That may keep the volatility in cattle futures somewhat subdued. You're listening to AOA with a check at markets for the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Loss of sight won't blind our vision. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for sticking with us here today on Agriculture of America AOA, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location or find more information online. Just go to Cenex.com. Well, joining us now here on AOA, USDA is making some historic investments in America's food system. We're going to learn more about that as we talk with USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, Jenny Lester Moffitt, is with us here on the show. Jenny, thanks for joining us on AOA. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's just start. Talk about some of these historic investments and how they will strengthen our food system. Can you give us just kind of an overview to start?
Yeah, absolutely. So the crux of these investments are really about sustaining ag prosperity and revitalizing rural America. And we're doing that through investing in the food supply chain, investing in what we call the infrastructure for the middle of the food supply chain to allow farmers and ranchers to have more places to bring their product to market and for consumers to have more options in the marketplace. We're doing that through the Resilient Food System Infrastructure Program, which is a program in partnership with states to be able to have grants for food producers to be able to expand their processing opportunities to also expand distribution so that producers can be able to connect more with different grocery stores, different restaurants, different hospitals and food and school food supply chains so that whether it is fruit and vegetable producers or grain producers, they have more choices and more places to bring their product to market. We're also doing this in the meat and poultry processing. So we have a local meat processing capacity program where we're investing significant dollars in critical processing infrastructure in the meat and poultry sector. And then finally, also in the organic market development grant program, expanding organic markets across the nation as well.
Well, talk about, you kind of alluded to the why USDA is making these investments. And so maybe who benefits the most from these investments? Is it our producers, our farmers and ranchers? Is it consumers? Is it all of the above? I mean, your perspective, USDA's perspective on that, you know, who benefits from these types of investments the most?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really is all of the above. We know that a strong and prosperous agricultural sector is essential to the well-being of the U.S. economy as a whole. It's essential to the rural economy. It's essential to jobs in rural America. And importantly, it's really important for family farmers to be able to invest in more opportunities for farmers to be able to tap into different markets, to add value to their market and new income streams, brings more of the food dollar back to family farmers, back to farmers who definitely need to see the strengthened rural economy come back to their community. And I think that's a really important part about this. This is about providing new market opportunities for family farmers, for small and mid-sized producers across the nation. But it also is about giving choice for consumers to be able to have more choice and opportunity to be able to buy from farmers that they know, from in regions that they know, and to have more choice in the marketplace overall.
Well, I want to ask you about some of these individual programs a little bit more, and I want to start with the meat side, you know, with the local MCAP. I know for a lot of our livestock producers out there, whether it be cattle, hogs, chickens, turkeys, you name it, there's been a lot of talk surrounding, you know, some of the concentration in the meat processing, meat packing industry. And so talk to us about, you know, why these investments and why more competition in meat processing matters, and how much these investments could help to, you know, support some of our livestock folks who are out there in rural America who have been talking about some of this consolidation in the meatpacking industry and processing industry for quite some time. So talk about that program a little bit more for us.
Yeah, absolutely. A concentration in the meat processing sector means that we're losing small and mid-sized ranches and independent processing businesses. It's shrinking market options for producers. We saw that right at the beginning of the pandemic, where producers lost their processing opportunities, the places where they were bringing their cattle, their hogs, their product to market. And at the same time, consumers lost opportunity to be able to buy. And we saw a very strong demand for consumers to be able to want to buy more from their local meat producers. But there wasn't a strong processing capacity infrastructure there to be able to make that happen, to be able to process the animal, to package the product and get it to consumers. And so that's what this program invests in things in the critical processing infrastructure, things like packaging, also, you know, things like grinders and meatball making machinery, all of those different pieces and components that are really critical to get that product to consumers.
How about on this organic side too? Organic production has definitely been ramping up here, I would say, in the last few years. More farmers want to sell more organic products. Some consumers want to see more organic products on store shelves. So why is it important from your perspective to support farmers who want to sell organic products here, Jenny?
Yeah, these programs open new and better market opportunities for producers who want to capture that price premium when it comes to organic production. There's a huge consumer demand. We see right now about 4% of the food sector is in the organic sector. And it is a growing sector. So the organic market development program is really tailored toward increasing domestic organic production and processing capacity in the nation. We know that there are different ways in which we need to expand things like organic livestock feed, organic ingredients, organic dairy, so that producers can capture that. So we're investing in processing and market development so that we can expand existing organic markets, increase the consumption of domestic agricultural products as well. This program, Secretary Vilsack announced $75 million. We were able to award already 70 projects for $61 million in this organic market development grant program. And it is going to be benefiting over 27,000 organic producers, and over 30 million organic consumers will be able to benefit from this program.
And I know, too, the other program, just real quick, the Resilient Food Systems Infrastructure Program, the RFSI, you kind of touched on that as well at the beginning, but that program, really look at it kind of building out the strong infrastructure in our food supply chain. I think we all know, you know, food security is national security. We're having that debate. And so expanding some of this, you know, and making things better in rural America is only going to make us stronger. Right, Jenny?
Absolutely. This is about the farm being able to bring in income. It's about increasing the food dollar and the share of the food dollar that farmers reap, which is somewhere in between 14 and 15 cents per dollar, to a much higher amount. It's about increasing streams of income for producers so that the farm is able to be resilient and to add new value. So it's funding processing, things like cold storage and freezing and drying, to be able to have farmers connect more to local and regional grocery store chains, to restaurants, to hospitals, to schools, to be able to tap into different markets that they hadn't been able to before.
Well, we are talking today with USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, Jenny Lester-Moffitt, here on AOA. Jenny, a couple minutes left here, and you mentioned some of the numbers. You guys have awarded a substantial amount of money in some of these programs already. I know it's a lot of money, again, a lot of investment into rural America, and I'm sure our farmers and ranchers and folks in rural America want to know, you know, when is this going to start taking effect? When are these investments going to start taking effect? Where is the money all, you know, going and being put to work, et cetera? So talk about that. Are we seeing immediate impacts right now?
Yeah, so the investments are already starting to take effect through these programs. We've already announced over 40 projects that have been funded through local meat processing capacity, over 70 projects through organic market development. The resilient food system infrastructure is just going into effect now. The states are opening their grant application period, but we're already seeing the effects of this from other investments that we've had in the meat and poultry processing sector, for example, where now, as a result of these investments, producers are able to get their product to different meat lockers and processors who are doing custom processing for them to be able to sell into more markets. I've heard from producers as I've traveled around the nation what this has meant for them. A local rancher in Arkansas talking about being able to sell to their local food systems and what that has meant for not just expanding the food dollar for their farms, but also for them to be able to get critical loans that they need, to have that long-term contract in hand and know where their market is, has been so important. I hear that from grain producers in Colorado who are looking at new value opportunities to diversify into different markets. We're seeing the impact already of these investments.
Jenny, real quick before we run out of time, where can listeners go to learn more information about all these investments?
Yeah, you can go to usda.gov/markets to learn about what USDA is doing to create more new and better markets for producers.
USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, Jenny Lester-Moffitt. Jenny, thanks for joining us on AOA today. Appreciate the conversation.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back with more on AOA, brought to you by Cenex, right after this.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes, we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now, cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research, funded by the V Foundation, is leading to new discoveries and new treatments, and ultimately, one day, victory over cancer. Right now, One out of every two men and one out of every three women will get cancer in their lifetime. Now is your moment. You may save someone you love. The V Foundation has the skill, the speed, and the strength to achieve victory over cancer. Because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
We are the nation's largest integrated healthcare system, providing life-changing care to over 9 million veterans.
Our hands are busy, competent, skilled, healing, helping, and friendly. A place where diverse teams come together hand in hand to provide full patient-centered care. Working in state-of-the-art facilities with influential leaders in healthcare, all with a single goal in mind, to help veterans heal, recover, and get their lives back. In a place where everyone plays a part and where your efforts are truly appreciated. A place so innovative and forward-thinking that we're rebuilding hands and where even robots lend a hand.
Join hands with us. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. When that temperature goes down, so can your equipment. So make sure you have a high-quality premium diesel fuel like Cenex Premium Diesels to keep your equipment running. Learn more at Cenex.com. Well, it may have felt like spring across much of the country here the last couple of weeks, but that's changing in a big way here as we get to the end of the week, especially across the Northern Plains and the upper Midwest with snow and winter in the forecast. Well, we want to think about and get some tips on how to protect our livestock as we're getting a quick snap of the weather here. So joining us now for a conversation, Travis Hoffman, NDSU and University of Minnesota Extension Sheep Specialist, to give us some tips and things to remember. Travis, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
Gladly, Jesse. Doing just fine. Thanks.
Well, Travis, with this weather forecast changing pretty drastically, especially across the Northern Plains and upper Midwest, what are some tips and thoughts you would share with our cattle producers, sheep, hogs, chickens, etc., all of our different livestock? What are some things that folks need to remember with a quick turn of the weather like we're going to see?
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it. And so I'm going to try to at least mold the conversation initially around the beef cow producer. And that beef cow producer, if we kind of think about it, is simply access to adequate nutrition, water, right, as you said, and also bedding. And so I'm going to tackle those as well. And so even when we think about it, at least here in the Northern Plains, we've had a little bit more open winter than what we had initially planned or what last year gave to us. But I would like to say that particularly as we have this, we've had some of those feed or hay bales up close or accessible. And that's not new information, as we're obviously farther along into the winter and spring. But if there are some of the moderate quality or higher quality hays that you have available, those are better for the animals because it increases that amount in the total digestible nutrients that you can have. And so it just helps the cow utilize that nutrition just a little bit better. As you said, it's going to be access to waters and making sure that the waters aren't froze up as well, or if you need to break some ice, if they're still out on pasture, whatever that may be. But that's not new information either. The difference is that now as we push into March, we have more challenges in relation to calving. I know that I grew up in South Dakota, and we're calving at least initially with some heifers right now before we kind of switch to the cows. But when you think of that, the thing that I would keep into consideration, first off from that cow and then hopefully that baby calf, is going to be having some bedding out there. And so put an extra straw bale or an extra corn stalk bale, just so that there's a little bit drier spot for us when we're thinking about the calving time, at least initially.
Well, what about thinking about some of our other livestock out there? Obviously, our cattle folks in calving season, you mentioned that. Got to worry about that. Any other tips on some of the other different livestock that are out there that we need to think about as well, or some of the same kind of apply if you're thinking about, you know, the beef cow producer versus another, you know, producer, so to speak?
Absolutely. Thanks for diversifying the topic there, Jesse. And so I'll go task next to sheep, and you know, most of the, even from a swine or your dairy operations, or even as we were talking about poultry, a lot of the times you have shelter in place for them, and so they're not as extensively managed as the beef cow. But I'll talk about sheep and goats because they're kind of in the middle as our small ruminants there, because they may be out on pasture and yet you may have access to them. I know a lot of the producers that I work with, as we, you know, identify that we have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 day snowstorm coming, it seems like there's a little bit of apprehension in terms of decision making on our weather, but knowing what we have access to is again the feedstuffs that we have available. So if we have some either, you know, large rounds or large squares, or even if we're feeding small squares, but most of the time our sheep and or goat producers will have a shelter for those. Don't feel as though it's a bad thing to just, when we know this one's coming, to put those in the barn and provide water and provide feed for them, and they'll be just fine in there for a day, 2 days, 3 days. And in fact, you'd have a lot more fun of knowing that they were in the barn and safe, and they don't take up as much room, right? And so when you have a large, extensive cattle operation and you have 100, 200, 500 cows, they're not all going to fit in the barn, and so that's not our option. But a lot of those other species are a little bit smaller. Know that you have shelter available, because at least in this area, you certainly probably do it, have made that decision. And, you know, a lot of people on the sheep and goats are either lambing or kidding right now. And keeping those young animals warm is one of those first things. And so I'll transition a little bit there to some of the young calf and lamb and kid health as well. But just the big picture of providing that shelter, Jesse.
Yeah, and that's very, very important. There's so many things that kind of go into that, whatever species we're talking about, right, Travis?
Yeah, and so when we think about it, and again, I'm kind of lumping those together, but of either calves or lambs or kids, but a couple things are really important. And so of keeping those animals, and I'll just, you know, talk about the calf first, because that's what most of our producers are, is the keeping them warm and dry as early as you can. And so that's not new information from us from a husbandry and livestock stewardship standpoint, because we want to be there. And if there's problems with a heifer or cow calving, to get that calf out and allow that maternal bond with the mom and the baby, but then bring them both in if you can. And if it's tougher, a lot of places will have a hot box or a warm box, all right, with the heater in it, to get the animal back up to a warmer temperature. And then, you know, one of the things is that on all of the species is that colostrum is really important, okay? And so if we can get colostrum, we really need to get the colostrum from either mom or a replacement quality colostrum that we may have in the freezer that we can thaw out, not with the microwave, okay? Don't hurt our immunoglobulins, but get the colostrum in those animals, because that needs to happen within hopefully the first 6 hours. And we want those animals to get warm and then provide the colostrum so that they can be healthy and happy as they continue along their lives.
Well, a lot of good things to consider. And I know, too, folks need to think about themselves in this situation. And with that, Travis Hoffman, NDSU and University of Minnesota Extension Sheep Specialist, thanks for joining us here on AOA today and giving us some thoughts on protecting our livestock during a cold snap. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
And with that, we're out of time here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
From grain and livestock market analysis to policy updates affecting agriculture, the latest agricultural weather, ag news headlines, and much more, we have you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. Get up-to-the-minute information with the American Ag Network on air, online, and on demand. Find us on your favorite social media platforms and follow the American Ag Today podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.